Congress is taking a closer look at a controversial initiative of the Bush administration with India. In July, the White House announced the U.S. will begin nuclear cooperation with India, despite its status as a state with nuclear weapons outside the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. The step was taken without consulting Congress, even though U.S. law will have to change in order to implement the policy. NPR's Mike Schuster has more.
Sometimes major policy shifts arrive without much fanfare. That was the case on July 18th, when President Bush made public a reversal of a longtime policy toward India.
Today we announce the completion of the next steps in strategic partnership. Completing this partnership will help us further enhance our cooperation in the areas of civil nuclear, civil space, and high technology commerce.
The problem is that right now, cooperating with India on its civil nuclear program is prohibited by U.S. law because the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty bans U.S. nuclear cooperation with a state that has the atom bomb outside the treaty. Slowly, members of Congress have begun to ask a lot of questions. Recently, at House and Senate hearings, they heard expert testimony that the policy shift puts the international system of non-proliferation at risk. Robert Einhorn is a former Assistant Secretary of State.
By sending the signal that the U.S. will tolerate and eventually accommodate a decision to acquire nuclear weapons, it will reduce the perceived costs to states that might consider going nuclear in the future.
As part of the deal, India will have to separate its civilian from its military nuclear facilities and put the civilian program under inspection by the International Atomic Energy Agency. Administration officials have largely skirted the issue of how accepting India's status as a nuclear weapon state can be squared with a commitment to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Last week, leaders of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee wondered out loud how to reconcile this contradiction. Ashley Tellis, a former advisor in the U.S. Embassy in India, conceded the problem.
It can't be squared at a legal level. It has to be squared at a practical level. The practical solution is creating some kind of an exceptionalism that accommodates this peculiar situation that we find ourselves in.
The new deal with India could result in U.S. sales of nuclear reactor fuel and the technologies to enrich uranium and reprocess plutonium. That, Robert Einhorn fears, could actually help India expand its arsenal of nuclear weapons.
A newly acquired ability to import uranium for civil needs would free up domestic supplies to be used exclusively in the weapons program, permitting a substantial buildup if the Indian government so decided.
Those in favor of a new strategic relationship with India point to the common interest of both India and the U.S. in fighting terrorism and support for India as a successful democracy in the developing world. But, says George Perkovich of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, the administration has another important goal that it doesn't like to talk about.
When the president says we now have as our goal to make India a major power, part of that is India's intrinsic worth, but a big part of that is to balance China as a major power. So that if you build up India, you build up U.S. power, the idea is maybe China just backs off and says, okay, we won't compete.
That may in fact be the reason why the administration did not ask India to stop making nuclear bombs. The administration could have pressed India to adopt a moratorium on production of fissile material, enriched uranium and plutonium, as have the U.S., Russia, France, Britain, and China. Henry Sikolsky, head of the Non-Proliferation Policy Education Center, told a House panel some in the administration are not unhappy with the prospect of helping India make more bombs.
More than a few of the deal's backers, of course, believe that to enhance U.S. security against, let's say, a hostile China, we shouldn't press these points too hard. They are even willing to let the U.S. indirectly help India build more nuclear weapons.
Right now, it is believed China has between 300 and 400 nuclear weapons. India is believed to have no more than 75. China is also sitting on a far larger stockpile of fissile material than India's. Ashley Tellis says India would not agree to a moratorium.
I think the Indians are calculating that as long as the Chinese stockpile is so huge and there is great uncertainty about where China's strategic nuclear weapons program is going, they would be unable to accede to any request for a moratorium. I think the U.S. understands this too, and therefore we didn't make this a condition for the successful completion of the agreement.
Nevertheless, this deal does lay the groundwork for a possible new nuclear arms race in Asia, argues George Perkovich.
The administration may not like to talk much about the balancing of China part of this strategy, but you can't really explain why they didn't push hard to get India to stop making bombs except with the understanding that this is about balancing China.
At this point, Congress appears to be uncertain how to proceed on the U.S.-Indian nuclear deal and probably won't act before President Bush visits India sometime early next year. Mike Schuster, NPR News. Thank you.